Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Sides of the court for Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat. Goran Dragic drops a 27 down tonight, and the Miami Heat take a 1-0 series lead. The Oklahoma City Thunder had some fight left in them in a back-and-forth basketball game this evening. They saw the Oklahoma City Thunder step up late and get it done. Chris Paul goes off late. The Thunder live to fight another day as the Houston Rockets let one get away from them. The Tampa Bay Lightning did not let it get away from them. It wasn't easy, and the fourth game is always the hardest, especially in the National Hockey League. There's a saying going back years: the fourth game and the clinching game is the hardest game to nail down in the National Hockey League. And I'll tell you what, the Tampa Bay Lightning found that out tonight. Boston battled hard and deserved better. Boston was the better team in overtime, but hockey's cruel, a lot like show business. Hideous bitch goddess, that it is. And the Tampa Bay Lightning take one step closer to a Stanley Cup Finals. They wait. The Philadelphia Flyers and the New York Islanders. George Kurtz is going to step up in it a little bit later on and kick it with us. We'll break it down. Of course, Captain Kurtz, Long Island. And he's a captain Highlander and New York Islander fan. But like a lot of people in New York, he's also he's a Yankee fan and a Dallas Cowboy fan. It's a twisted combination, all right? We're talking NFL football. We're about 10 days away right now from the start of the National Football League season. Rick Saratella is going to step up and in from the NFL Draft, a Bible Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Rookie Player of the Year. We're going to break it down. We're going to talk some New York Giants football. Take a look at some season win totals, division futures, and everything else in between. Sports Rage Late Night has begun. Bring it. Vent your rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
You need to get more than 18 points from the Greek Freak. You need to get more than 18 points. 4 for 12 from the throw line just is not going to get it done. And the Milwaukee Bucks body language was not pretty. You know, the Milwaukee Bucks body language is not pretty. Even after one game, they admittedly have talked about how, the situation, the boycott, and the protest and everything has worn on them, except they're going to have to put that aside because, you know what, I'm sure Jimmy Butler cares about social justice as much as anybody else does right now inside that bubble, but Jimmy Butler's all business, so much so that Jimmy Butler isn't having visitors. Think about that. Well, everybody else is like worried and you know, oh, I missed this, I missed that, you know, life in the bubble. You know, they're allowed to have family right now and people that are close to them. You know, when they say people that are close to them, it means you know, no Instagram models that you just met or you're trying to pick up. All right? But, you know, family members, et cetera, kids, girlfriends, you know, whatever. Jimmy Butler decided, you know, I don't want any visitors. This is a business trip. I don't want to be distracted inside of the bubble. And didn't Mike Milbury just get, like, fired for this, basically? I guess not fired, but basically, I mean, stepped aside. Yeah, didn't he just step aside? So, you know, Jimmy Butler, a great player, just a guy that, you know, it's really hard not to respect. You know, yeah, he shows up and he shows everybody up all the time when he shows up for practice at 3 and 4 in the morning. I get it. And, you know, but what it does is it makes people around him better. And you know what? It goes to show Philadelphia were so messed up that even with Jimmy Butler, they couldn't get it done. Although they came damn close. Let's be real. Kawhi Leonard's shot barely went in last year. In that setting against the Philadelphia 76ers. But moving forward right now, I think it's safe to say Milwaukee do have problems. I get it. Eric Bledsoe wasn't there tonight. But how much of a difference is Eric Bledsoe really going to make? You know, the problem for Milwaukee was tonight was they actually got big production from Chris Middleton. They actually got production from Lopez. You know, you can't really say it was the Greek Freak, but hey, listen, the fact of the matter is 18 points is good if you're somebody else and you're not, you know, you're not Giannis. 4 for 12 from the free throw line is not good for anybody. All right. It's not good for anybody. And, you know, last year he missed crucial and critical free throws against the Toronto Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals. And here we were once again tonight. And he's missing crucial free throws against the Miami Heat. You know, they're not playing the Orlando Magic right now. And, you know, I felt like it was almost a trap. Like it was just too easy tonight. with the Miami Heat, but evidently it wasn't. As you know, the Miami Heat were just quite frankly the better basketball team. Milwaukee came out strong in the first quarter. And you thought, wow, all right, different matchup. And, you know, it's amazing how, you know, the game was sailing over the number and it just hit a complete wall. But, you know, you look at Jamal Murray and he's dropped 50 a couple of times and Spider Mitchell, Donovan Mitchell's going off. There's been some great performances, you know, but don't let Jimmy Butler, oh, he only had 40, fool you. You know, he had 40 points and just making big time plays at both sides of the court. So a monster performance tonight for Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat. And I tell you what, the Miami Heat do look dangerous right now. Now 5-0 in the playoffs. You know, Miami took care of business. They swept the Pacers. Now they beat. And you know what? Double-digit wins, too. Double-digit wins. Total was 223. Barely stayed under the number. Got to 219. Except Milwaukee went cold late. And the Greek Freak couldn't hit free throws late. So it's a big night of sports tonight. A big night in the NBA. Oklahoma City found something late in a back-and-forth basketball game that really could have, like, went either way. Anything could have happened. Anything could have happened late. It was 100-100 with 12 seconds left, but Oklahoma City were in the bonus, and Houston were not. They got to the free throw line. They hit their free throws, and that was the difference. 104-100 final score. Houston let this game get away from them. And, you know, Oklahoma City were embarrassed the other night. You got to give them credit for digging down deep and finding a way to get it done. So it was a busy night, not just in the NBA and in the NHL with the double overtime win, Tampa Bay, but Major League Baseball as well. The Tampa Bay Rays are in the Bronx again, and they were just in the Bronx last week, a week and a half ago or so. And, of course, they swept the New York Yankees. It was the first time they swept the Yankees in the Bronx since 2014. And don't tell yourself, don't think, wow, there were no fans there. There were no fans. Because I tell you what, the Yankees were 10-0 without fans at home, all right? The Yankees have only lost six times at home, and now it's like four of them have been to Tampa Bay. Big night for the Tampa sports fan. Tonight. Big night for the Tampa sports fan as the Tampa Bay Rays. I tell you what, the Rays, we knew the Rays were live coming into this year, and we talked about the Rays being a value pick. They were plus 300 to win the American League East, especially in a shortened season like this. And it's pretty much playing according to script right now is the New York Yankees. You know, the big concern with the Yankees all the time is they're, you know, that they get hurt, that they always have injuries. And this year has been no exception. Now, the Yankees schedule gets easier in the month of September, but nevertheless, nothing's really easy. Even the bad teams are scrappy. You know, just you know, ask Cleveland about Kansas City tonight. But I'll tell you what, this Tampa Bay Ray team right now, they're on fire, man. They're on fire. They're like a must bet. They were plus 130 tonight. Glasnow strikeout prop goes over the number. Gerrit Cole was on the hill for the Yankees, and that's the second time that he's lost to these guys. He didn't get the decision in the other game, but the Rays have hit him. And the Rays are now 7-1 in their last eight games against the New York Yankees. Now, this is my problem with the fact that everybody makes the freaking playoffs this year in Major League Baseball. All right? Because otherwise, you'd be like, oh, wow, man, like we've really got a division. We've got something going on here. But whatever, dude. The Baltimore Orioles are in playoff contention right now. All right. You know, the Baltimore Orioles are in playoff contention right now, like everybody is. So it takes away some of the drama of some of the big teams, like potentially like not winning their division and stuff, because they're still going to make the playoffs anyways. Right. Otherwise, it'd be like, oh, the Yankees are in big trouble right now. The Yankees are not in big trouble right now. Everybody makes the playoffs. So the Yankees are not in big trouble. So it takes away some of the drama. Nevertheless, Tampa Bay still are for real. I think they're worth a look for a World Series future. Would anybody be surprised if the Rays made the World Series? There's some damn good teams, man. I'm telling you what, in the American League this year. And there's some, you know, the National League is about the Los Angeles Dodgers, but it's also about San Diego. San Diego shook things up pretty hard over the weekend and with the trade deadline. Mike Clevinger being the biggest piece here. San Diego, already a dangerous baseball team, just got even more dangerous. and we'll be able to compete with anybody in a shortened series. Eric Dowler's going to step up and in. We'll talk some NFL football, NFL draft Bible, Colonel Kurtz, and more. Sports Radio continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Renzi. Vent your rage. The Monday Night Meltdown, the countdown is on. The National Football League regular season, 10 nights away. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans. The countdown is on right now. Of course, there's been no preseason games. And a man that joins us right now is very, very much old school. So he knows what I'm talking about. And I'll tell you what, Rick, as you know, there's no preseason. Normally, we know everything about like every drop pass, every tackle, every interception, every bad pass in training camp, except this year, NFL teams have been very, very guarded with everything. They have different like media guidelines for reporting about their depth charts. It's almost like there's like game week protocol in place. So there can be sort of a sense of secrecy moving forward. And, you know, it's almost old school. I feel like I got to be ordering some old school football newsletters, Rick. Rick Saratella steps up in. How you doing, Rick?
Some teams sitting out and not practicing at all. So Bill Parcells said the other day, hey, 14 padded practices. I used to do that in 10 days.
Yeah, you know, really, and you know what a difference it makes right now. So, you know, especially how difficult is it, especially for new coaches that are learning new personnel, new rosters. I think of someone like Coach Mike McCarthy with the Dallas Cowboys, but at least he's run camps before. At least he's run teams before. You know, how about Joe Judge in New York? From what I can tell, it's pretty much as expected. I saw he's trying to punch footballs out of players' hands. He's out there coaching. But it seems that players, from what I understand, that players do like him. What can you tell us about what's going on with the New York Giants camp?
Well, you know, culture is going to beat talent. Culture wins out over talent. And when you don't have time to cultivate the atmosphere and environment that you want to create there, and for any new head coach, it's going to be difficult, right? And, you know, for Coach Joe Judge, you know, his act is going to wear thin if he doesn't get out of the gates early and start winning some football games, right? And they have a young roster, 50 guys, I think, right now in camp that are under the age of 25. So his hard knock style, his discipline, you know, his making the coaches run laps. You know, listen, there's a lot of guys right now inside that locker room looking at Joe Judge sideways saying, hey, is this thing really going to work? We know you've got Super Bowl pedigree. We know you come from the Patriots family. But, you know, we are also professional athletes. And, you know, his college rah-rah stuff you know, only going to go so far, and it's going to translate to W.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. Rick Sartella, NFL Draft Bible, kicking it with us. So I guess that's the thing, right, Rick? If they win, then it's great. Hey, it's a big culture change. If they lose, then he just sort of becomes annoying. It seems they're going from one extreme to another from, you know, the way that the staff was handled last year. Now, obviously, you know, no more Eli Manning there. So it's Daniel Jones's football team right now. And from what I understand, he's had some good days in camp and he's had some bad days in camp. He's put on some muscle and some strength, which will help him because he fumbled the football a lot last year. Decision-making, I like the kid a lot, Rick. I'm a big fan of his. I think the intangibles are there. I think the arm is there. I think he gets it. I like the mobility factor. I used to think that he was just fearless, and I was like, man, this kid's fearless, and the way he stands in a pocket. Then I realized, no, he's not fearless. He's just kind of clueless about people around him. He doesn't realize he's about to get hit. But he's a little bit of both, but I do like him. But the decision-making has to get better, doesn't it?
Well, you know, that was the knock on Daniel Jones coming out of college, was the turnovers, fumbles, lost fumbles, interceptions. And that's always been the case with Daniel Jones. You know, when the pocket collapses, he folds like a cheap suit. Now, when he plays against the bottom feeders of the NFL, he looks fantastic. And, hey, don't get me wrong. That's what you're supposed to do in the NFL, beat who you're supposed to beat. But at the same time, you take a look at these offensive tackles here on this roster. It's like watching one of those 90s horror flicks. It's the same, you know, Jason, Friday, Freddy Krueger, Michael Myers, pick your choice. It's like the same horror movie each and every year, the left tackle, right tackle, like two turnstiles. And this guy's going to be running for his life, facing the pressure, very limited weapons to throw to. These guys are always hurt now. Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, even Saquon Barkley. Can they stay healthy? So not only do they have to keep Daniel Jones upright, they've got to keep the weapons surrounding him healthy. And now, oh, by the way, Daniel Jones, welcome to the NFL. We're going to start two rookies at left and right tackle for you.
Now, a lot of people are just giving the Dallas Cowboys this division. You know, it seemed like it was going to be a competitive division between them and the Philadelphia Eagles. But that Eagle offensive line has some serious issues already. You know, their number one draft pick, the wide receiver, and Rager gets hurt out of TCU. He could be out until week two, week three. And then, you know, who knows? You're a rookie wide receiver coming into the NFL already banged up. Who knows what'll happen in between now and then. Washington's clearly rebuilding right now. Are you buying in that the Dallas Cowboys are going to be the NFC East champions?
Well, they're the paper champions, no doubt about it. But like we just mentioned, with the new head coach trying to establish their culture, and take a look at the last year or two, like, hey, nobody wants to win this division. I mean, we're trying to give it away. Nobody wants to win it. So it wouldn't surprise me if there's a dark horse that emerges here. But, yeah, it's Dallas's division to lose right now. They're the most talented team on paper. But, hey, that's why they play the games. And guess what, Gabe? You know, COVID is going to be a funny thing. We saw it in Major League Baseball. You start losing players to this thing. Once you start getting outside that bubble, right, everything's all fine and dandy in training camp. You start getting on those planes and you start traveling and you start, you know, doing those late night hotels, slide into the, you know, fourth floor room. These are real things that occur. So it's going to be the teams that are disciplined, the teams that buy in, and the teams that believe. But, I mean, there's going to be more X factors than ever before. But, yes, I agree. Dallas is the team to be in the NFC East right here. By the way, it's September 1st. The calendar's flipped. Fall weather. Pigskin, baby.
Yeah, here it is. It's just sort of strange. What a strange strange situation, though, especially without fans. And the Dallas Cowboys, the only team with fans in a division, just as somebody that, you know what, and it's one of those deals, Rick, you don't know what you have until it's gone. Because I used to, like, really hate, like, I've never, like, it was, like, severe rage after Giant games. I'd be trying to leave the Meadowlands. I'd be, like, literally living, like, 13 minutes away normally or 11 minutes away, but instead it was, like, 3.5 hours away. Except, I guess I would trade that now once again. Just, you know, very, very, very bizarre. But, you know, what's interesting home field advantage doesn't mean what it used to be in the National Football League. And in fact, last year, road teams won more than they did going all the way back to 1972. I'm intrigued to see how the fanless stadiums are, how it's going to be. What's your take on that? What are you expecting? Like, how do you think will it affect teams? Yeah. Like, teams will be piping in crowd noise. They're allowed to, pipe in noise, 80 decibels and stuff. So, yeah, what are you expecting from fanless stuff? How much of an impact do you think it's going to have on the games?
Yeah, I love the rule. They can pump up to 75 to 80 decibels. Like, we have the decibel police patrol now. Someone's going to be keeping
that's what I said.
On these things.
Monitoring this.
it'll be fun. I mean, listen, you heard Sean McDermott kind of crying a little bit about competitive disadvantage. And, you got coaches that came out and said, hey, line them up, knock them down, let's play. Ed Orgeron style, I don't care, you call us in the middle of the night, we'll go play in a parking lot type of thing. At the end of the day, talent's going to win out. I don't want to hear this nonsense about fake crowd noise, real crowd noise, home field advantage, disadvantage. And, Gabe, I'm going to put the New York Giants fans on the spot right now because the last year or two, there's been way, way too many opposing jerseys in those stands, Giants fans not showing up and showing out and showing that support like they have of Giants years of the in the past. I'm just being honest with you there, and that's just something I've observed and something that the season ticket holders have been frustrated about.
Yeah, and I can attest to it as well. They're just beaten down. They're worn out. I mean, listen, the New York Giants have been one of the worst home teams. That's the whole thing, to be honest, Rick. It's not as if though that like having no fans there can hurt them. They haven't been good at home anyways. Right. So, I mean, maybe they'll just be better. What's your take on Logan Ryan and, the DeAndre Baker situation? I was like, so what's his status? He's on the can't perform list. I guess, is it just sort of we just waiting until they can cut him, or are they really waiting this out legally? Is he going to be on the football team? The Giants are kind of big on character and stuff like that. So, I guess they just, they missed on this kid. But, such a strange story with, the robbery, and now he's getting sued. Now there's a civil suit as well. And not to mention, he didn't play very well last year as a rookie. What's the situation there? And then conversely, they signed Logan Ryan.
Yeah, it's a shame, DeAndre Baker's career over before it even began, really. And they did miss, Gabe. I was shocked, the pre-draft whispers, so to speak, were all there. All the red flags, all the character concerns, the lack of work ethic, everything the Giants did not want, right? And they traded back up into the first round and selected him. So Logan Ryan, I like that move. I mean, they're patching this secondary together just like that offensive line. And Logan Ryan can move around, be an interchangeable part, play some safety, play some corner, line up against tight ends, maybe move outside. And he knows the system. He's friends with Joe Judge. He knows the defensive coordinator, and he can help cultivate some of that culture that we were talking about earlier.
Rick Saratella with us. All right, well, I want to get into who's going to be the offensive rookie of the year. Rick breaks down all these prospects. We'll see who thinks he's going to thrive. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Portraits late night. I am Morenci. We're kicking it with Rick Saratella talking NFL football. We will talk some NBA basketball. Once again, Toronto Raptors and the Boston Celtics getting back at it. I think there's some value with the Raptors series price. George Kurtz will join us. We'll talk NHL hockey and NFL football with Colonel Kurtz. We're talking NFL football right now with Rick Saratella. And Rick, let's get down to business right now. FanDuel's got NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year props up. So we'll go rapid fire. I'll throw the player at you. Sort of give me your thoughts on how you think they're going to do this year. Let's start off with the favorite, Joe Burrow, Cincinnati Bengal quarterback, plus 230 to win Rookie of the Year. From what I understand, people are blown away by his accuracy. And, you know, I'm kind of torn on Burrow in the sense that you watch him play last year. That was so amazing. We were just talking about Danny Jones's decision-making process. But Joe Burrow, he took off. He stayed in the pocket when he was supposed to stay in the pocket. He stepped into the pocket when he was supposed to step into the pocket. He'd take off when he was supposed to take off. He was incredibly accurate. But then another part of me thinks you were on a dominant college football team playing against kids. You had great wide receivers that were, you know, quite frankly, wide open all the time. You're going to be under a hell of a lot more pressure now than you were in the SEC. So I'm sort of all over the place with Burrow, but I'm not saying that I don't think he's a failure. I don't think he's going to be a bust, but how successful will he be? And do you think he should be the favorite to be the offensive rookie of the year?
No. And that's because, you know, he's looking around right now and he's saying, wait a second, I'm at the NFL. Where's my personnel? I had better wide receivers at LSU. I had better offensive line with the Tigers down there in Baton Rouge. So, you know, I have zero confidence that Joe Burrow is going to be the offensive rookie of the year because he's going to struggle. He's going to struggle to win. He's going to struggle to find rhythm out of the gates. He's going to struggle to find weapons. And that's what rookie quarterbacks tend to do. They tend to struggle. So I don't see a lot of success for the Bengals this year. I do think we'll see flashes of what makes Joe Burrow that franchise quarterback, but no way, no how is he winning rookie of the year.
All right, the second choice is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, speaking of Joe Burrow, a teammate of his at LSU. So Helaire is the second choice right now, plus 360. And his stock goes up because Damian Williams decides to opt out with the Kansas City Chiefs. Are you buying into Helaire lighting it up with Kansas City?
Well, you know, I do think that he's going to have quite the productive season, very similar to Josh Jacobs with the Raiders last year, a guy that can be a receiver out of the backfield, make some plays in the run game, is going to be expected to carry the workload. So I can agree with him being that high. He's not my choice, but I think that he would be a very close choice.
The third choice is Tua. Tua's 8-1, and I am a Tua fan. I think Tua's going to be successful. But the fact of the matter is, from what we're hearing out of camp in Miami, is Fitzpatrick's still better. And, you know, it's amazing, isn't it? Fitzpatrick just won't go away, this guy. He's been around forever. And he's always on these 1 and 2 year deals. And he keeps winning these jobs. How long do you think it is before Tua takes over at quarterback in Miami? And truth be told, listen, man, they tried to tank last year. The organization tried to tank, and Flores coached these guys up, and they were a pretty competitive football team. So, you know, I don't expect them to roll over either once again this year, but what do you expect out of the quarterback position there? How many games do you think Tua plays? How long do you think it is before he's in there?
Well, I don't know offhand when their bye week is, but that seems to be the logical choice to me. And, yeah, you know, the Fitzmagic carpet ride never runs out, it seems like. But he's not in camp right now. His mother passed away. There's some uncertainty there if he'll even start week one. And Josh Rosen would be the guy who gets to start. They're not going to put their prized franchise quarterback in there. I know he's been cleared for physical activity, but I don't see Tua really playing the first half of the season much at all. And that's what's great about the COVID lifestyle, Gabe, is you can take advantage of Vegas right now because there's no preseason games. They don't really have a good grip on what's going on here, and you could tell by the odds the landscape is off the mark here.
Well, I'll tell you what. So let's get to a guy that I'm very high on, actually. Big fan. I thought it was a home run when they drafted him. I don't think he's better than Marlon Mack is. Let's just be real. And you know, it doesn't mean Mack's not going to get any touches, but Jonathan Taylor, I don't know what you feel about the kid out of Wisconsin here. So Jonathan Taylor with the Indianapolis Colts, they have an elite offensive line. If they're smart, they're not going to let Phillip Rivers throw the football 40 times a game. I'll tell you that much. I'm not the biggest Phillip Rivers fan, but I do like Jonathan Taylor a lot. What's your take on Taylor? He's 10-1 to be the rookie of the year.
Well, ding, 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 we've got a winner. Jonathan Taylor, to me, is going to be a dominant, explosive running back. I think this is a guy that would not surprise me if he led the league in rushing this season, Gabe. This guy's a bigger, stronger, faster version of Jamal Lewis. And I think 2,000 yards could be in his future. I don't know if he gets that as a rookie, but I think Jonathan Taylor is a guy that really is going to be a train. Put that Colts team on his back and really make a lot of noise this year. And he's going to be a problem. He's going to be a problem to tackle. And when he gets a full steam ahead on him, man, there's a highlight reel waiting to happen in 2020, and it's Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, he's got the whole package. He's fast. He can break tackles. He's shifty. He can make you miss as well. Great, great running back. Great, great fit. Just like Indianapolis, Ballers just keeps hitting it out of the park with his draft picks there. CeeDee Lamb is 15-1. DeAndre Swift is 15-1. Jerry Jeudy is 15-1. If there's another player besides, and we're both on the same page here, Rick, with Jonathan Taylor at 10-1. But if there's another player that we haven't talked about, or one of these guys that I just brought up, is there someone else that you like to potentially here to have a big year as an offensive rookie?
Well, you know, I would just say right there with the Colts, there's Michael Pittman. I think this guy is going to play a bigger role than people anticipate, playing opposite of T.Y. Hilton. Michael Pittman's a big, tall, physical receiver who could be a red zone weapon. So I think he's maybe a dark horse candidate. And let's not rule out Cam Akers. This kid is making some noise there with the Rams. There's an opportunity there with Darrell Henderson. He's going to be out for some time. Cam Akers is a guy that could suddenly kind of shift into that high-octane Rams offense that we know and kind of play that Todd Gurley role.
All right, let's switch over. Let's switch over to the defensive side of the football. Another team in the NFC East, the Washington football team. Say what you will about their talent on the offensive side of the football. And I'll tell you what, though, a lot of people are really liking Gibson. Antoine Gibson at running back behind Peterson there. But let's talk about, the defensive line. They've got a ton of talent up front. And we know that Ron Rivera knows how to coach up a defensive line as well. So, we talk about Joe Burrow being the odds-on favorite to win on offense. The odds-on favorite defense, Ohio State's Chase Young, plus 220. Kid's an athletic freak, man. I'm watching some of his videos, like, on Instagram and, like, Periscope and stuff like that. You know, he's doing MMA and boxing and dodging things. And the kid looks hungry, right? He looks like he wants to come into the NFL and try to make some noise. What do you make of him being the defensive rookie of the year favorite at plus 220?
Well, he's a stud, right? I mean, you got to be excited about the limited clips floating around there on the Twitterverse. And boy, this guy, he just brings it. Now, I don't think he was as polished as some of the Bosa guys coming out, but I think his upside is greater than both of those guys. And, I can't disagree with putting him as the favorite. He's not my favorite, but I think he's close to it. We talked about that Giants offensive line. I mean, this guy might be halfway to a double-digit sack season just off the Giants games alone. So he's going to get the numbers. He's going to get the sacks. It's hard to kind of come into the league as a pass rusher and dominate right away. So I think there will be somewhat of a transition. But Chase Young is the real deal. I mean, I can't argue with anybody who thinks this guy is going to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. He'll be a strong contender.
Some people question the pick of Isaiah Simmons by the Arizona Cardinals. I didn't. I like the, just sort of the Clemson pedigree, the leadership that he'll bring to the table. He is the second choice at plus 550. Is this a little bit high for him, or do you think he'll have that big of an impact this year?
Well, I think he'll have a big impact. I don't know if he'll have a big statistical impact. And for whatever it's worth, I've got the Cardinals winning that NFC West. I think they're going to be the surprise team there. And Isaiah Simmons is going to play a big role in that. And so, you saw it in college. They're going to move him around. They're going to try to win some matchups there. Does it translate to gaudy statistical numbers? I'm not so sure. But this guy is a hell of a talent. He's going to make plays, and he's going to be in the mix.
It goes to show sort of how there's such a big jump here. It goes from Chase Young plus 220, Isaiah Simmons plus 550. Then you get into Patrick Queen, linebacker, Baltimore, LSU. And, tough for a linebacker to win this, especially on such sort of a team concept like Baltimore. And then you get into 20-1 with Espinosa Buffalo Bill, Iowa Hawkeye. You know, this guy was drafted like 62nd overall or something like that. So, you know, there's big drop off from the big studs here with Chase Young and Isaiah Simmons, and then to Queen and then to everybody else. Jeff Okuda's 21-1, except Okuda's having a hard time working his way up the depth chart right now. You got Derek Brown at 21-1. Which one of these long shots should we be taking a look at, Rick? Who do you think one of these long shot players, if not wins Rookie of the Year, has an impact, though, for their football team this year?
Well, you know, that Ravens defense is going to be stingy, one of the best in the league, in my opinion. Epenenza, I think, is up there just because there's not a whole heck of a lot of edge rushers in this year's draft class. So Vegas is just kind of projecting, hey, here's a guy who could tally a lot of sacks, right? So he'll be in contention. You mentioned Okuda at a cornerback. Unless you have a load of interceptions, that's going to be tough. But I'm looking at the one guy here that keeps standing out to me is Kenneth Murray from the Chargers. I mean, this is a guy coming out of Texas A&M where he looks like he's going to be a thumper because he's like 240, 250. But this guy is incredibly quick, incredibly fast, the sideline to sideline coverage. He's a tackling machine. And the coaches there at the Chargers, they've been pleasantly surprised with how he can drop back in coverage. This is a three-down linebacker. I think he's in for about 100, 120 tackles. So to me, Kenneth Murray, I think, is the smart money here.
Kenneth Murray, 21-1. Right now, and unfortunately, the Chargers got some bad news with Derwin James going to be out. It's always just one injury after another for them. So, Rick, it's always a pleasure, man. It was great to catch up with you. We'll definitely do it again. It's great to have NFL football back. But like you said, I'm with you. I sort of think it's going to be like baseball. I think they're going to play, but I think there's going to be times where we wake up on Sunday morning and you're watching a pregame show and they say, wow, the Cincinnati Bengals game's canceled, right? I think there'll be a few games like that along the way. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully everything goes off, but we'll just hope for the best right now. Like you said, it's going to be up to the teams to be very smart. I know Tampa Bay are being smart. I know New Orleans is being smart. But Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible. Great stuff, Rick. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Hey, Gabe, man. I appreciate it. Pleasure topping it up with you.
There's Rick Saratella with us. Follow him on Twitter and follow the NFL Draft Bible crew out there as well. In fact, you guys want to become an NFL scout, they can tell you how. They can teach you how. George Kurtz going to step up and in. Level 2. NFL countdown is on. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I'm Morenci. Thanks to Rick Saratella for joining us. George Kurtz will step up and in at level 2. I'm on board, actually, with Jonathan Taylor. To win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Jonathan Taylor, running back, Indianapolis Colts. Yeah, they have Marlon Mack, but let's be real. Jonathan Taylor, they didn't draft Jonathan Taylor 41st overall not to use him. And he's that good. He's just better. He's just better than Marlon Mack. And he's going to get an opportunity to get quite a few touches. I don't believe that. Listen, Frank Reich's a smart guy. I question why he wants Phillip Rivers to be his quarterback. I can understand them not wanting Jacoby Brissett to be the starting quarterback again, but I'm not so sure Phillip Rivers was the answer. You know, and the thing is, to me, the Indianapolis Colts are pretty stacked across the board, actually, at every other position. And it's crazy, too, because, you know, we talked about Jonathan Taylor. Listen, he's 10-1 to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year, all right? Like, if you look at the candidates, is it going to be Joe Burrow? Joe Burrow is going to be running for his life. Joe Burrow plays in a difficult division as well. Joe Burrow is good. And I think Joe Burrow is going to show flashes, but let's be real. AJ Green always gets hurt. Their offensive line isn't very good. So is he going to put up enough numbers to be the rookie of the year? Being on a good football team actually helps as well. Speaking of which, so Edwards-Helaire is running back of the Kansas City Chiefs at out of LSU, late first round draft pick. With Helaire is now, especially with Damian Williams, who opted out due to COVID, Damian Williams not playing. Thing with Edwards-Helaire is you've got Patrick Mahomes on the team. You've got Tyreek Hill. You've got Travis Kelce. You know, we could go on. Like, there's a lot of offensive weapons. And, yeah, the kid's going to be good, and he's going to be a contributor. But, really, like, is Mahomes going to win the MVP, and he's going to win a Rookie of the Year as well? Tua might not play enough. I think John Taylor's the pick and kind of bring it.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.